For tuning in. Bizarre times, huh? Bizarre times. Herman Cain's attorney is threatening potential future witnesses. As you know, the United States is waiting the results of a nationwide safety study on the natural gas drilling process known as fracking. And as ProPublica has reported today, I think it was today, wasn't it, Kathy? What's the date today? Today's the 10th, right? As they reported today, a separate government investigation into contamination in a place where residents have long complained that drilling made their water fall has turned up alarming levels of underground pollution. A pair of environmental monitoring wells were dug deep into an aquifer in Pavilion, Wyoming. It was found to contain high levels of cancer-causing compounds and at least one chemical commonly used in fracking. That's according to new water test results released yesterday by the EPA. The EPA, of course, is one of the agencies, as this dumbass Rick Perry called them, that he would abolish. Of course, all Republicans would abolish the EPA. Why not? Anyway, these findings were consistent with water samples the EPA has collected from at least 42 homes in the Pavilion, Wyoming area since 2008, when ProPublica began reporting on foul water and health concerns in Pavilion, and the EPA started investigating reports of contamination there. Now, this is important stuff. Last year, after warning residents not to drink or cook with the water, this is from an aquifer. Don't use the water. Don't cook with the water. Ventilate your home when you shower. After giving those warnings to residents, the EPA drilled the monitoring wells to get a more precise picture of the extent of this contamination. Now, Pavilion, Wyoming, that area has been drilled extensively for natural gas over the last 20 years. And it happens to be the home to hundreds of gas wells, natural gas, right? Clean natural gas. You see those commercials. Residents have been telling authorities for almost 10 years that the drilling and the hydraulic fracturing, in particular the fracking, has caused their water to turn black, to smell like gasoline. Some of the residents there are suffering neurological impairments, loss of smell, nerve pain that they associate with exposure to pollutants. No, couldn't be. The gas industry, led by the Canadian company Encana, which owns the wells in Pavilion, they've owned it for a couple of years, the gas company industry has denied that its activities are responsible for the contamination. It is the Herman Cain response. Nope, didn't happen, don't know nothing about it, never met this woman, never had met those wells, don't know what you're talking about. If people are sick, it's because they don't go to their doctor. Huh? And Canada has, however, supplied drinking water to residents. Nothing wrong with the water. Nothing wrong with your aquifer. Not a thing. But here's some water to drink, because, you know, if you drink that stuff, you're going to die. But there's nothing wrong with it. Uh-huh. The information released yesterday by the EPA was limited to raw sampling data. The agency didn't interpret the findings or make any attempt to identify the source of the pollution. And from the start of its investigation, according to ProPublica, the EPA has been careful to consider all possible causes of the contamination and to distance its inquiry from the controversy around hydraulic fracturing. You understand that, of course. Now, this is EPA that these right-wingers want to abolish, an EPA that is has consistently sided with the fossil fuel industry in whatever they decide to do. The EPA pretends like it is truly the Environmental Protection Agency, but it's not. It does what it's told. And in this instance, as they are drilling holes and smelling around and looking for stuff, they are deliberately staying away from the fracking process because, well, you know, don't want to piss anybody off, right? Of course not. But even so, the chemical compounds the EPA detected are consistent with those produced from drilling processes, including one that is used in the process of fracking. It is called 2-BE, 2-butoxyethanol, or 2-BE, which is used in the fracking process. The agency, EPA, said it had not found contaminants such as nitrates and fertilizers that would have signaled that agricultural activities were to blame. Now, this is usually what the industry first says. Well, you know, it's not us, it's agriculture. Well, agricultural garbage and crap, chemical compounds that are dumped on the land instead of doing organic farming, that is causing problems too. You know, it's kind of like you're caught if you live, say, in Pavilion, Wyoming, or any one of thousands of places in this poor, dying landmass called the United States of America. If the industrial pollutants don't get you, then the agricultural pollutants will get you. And if they don't get you, then the atmospheric pollutants will get you. And if they don't get you, excuse me, we're not going to talk about all these women. Oh, I'm sorry. I just, the wells that the EPA have dug also contain benzene at 50 times the level that is considered safe, as well as phenols, another dangerous human carcinogen, acetone, toluene, naphthalene, diesel fuel. God, EPA said the water samples were saturated with methane gas that matched the deep layers of natural gas being drilled for energy. The gas did not match the shallower methane that the gas industry says is naturally occurring in water, a signal that the contamination was related to drilling and was less likely to have come from drilling waste spilled above ground. You understand what is being said here, don't you, Truth Seeker? In Canada, the Canadian company that owns this area has recently agreed to sell its wells to a Texas-based oil and gas company called Legacy Reserves. Don't you love those names? Legacy Reserves, for a report of $45 million. However, Encana has promised to continue to cooperate with the EPA's investigation. Encana bought many of the wells in 2004 after the first problems with groundwater contamination had been reported. And the EPA's research in Wyoming is separate from the EPA's ongoing national study of fracking and its effect on water supplies. And that study is being funded through the Superfund cleanup program. Remember that? The EPA says it will release a lengthy draft of what they found in Pavilion, Wyoming, including a detailed interpretation of what it all means, later this month. Well, that certainly is good to know, isn't it? We'll be right back.
Servant, Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. That is fracking part one. We'll get to fracking part two in just a couple of minutes. Mike is in San Francisco listening on Green 960. Hello, Mike.
Yeah, Mike. This is what happened. I got home about 5:30, and the station was already on 960, and Norman was on. And right when I turned the radio on, the caller that he was last caller to be taken before the bottom of the hour was reporting that she had seen on Facebook about the shooting. And so I immediately turned on KGO, and it's really hard to tell. It's like total chaos over there because the power and the plumbing has been off in Franco Valley Plaza all day, and so when it got dark, there's no light, and nobody knows if the shooting is connected to Occupy or if it was something that happened.
All right, now let me. You're saying that there was a shooting in Oakland? I didn't get that part at the beginning of the call.
At Occupy Oakland, right at 14th and Broadway.
Right, and there's no information as to...
Very little as to who and why. They haven't caught anybody yet. They don't know if it was something that just happened there coincidentally or if it was connected. They don't know. I've been trying to monitor KGO, and... The reason that it's chaotic and nobody knows what's going on is because it's been dark.
Right.
There's no light there,
Right.
And so the news people can't tell what's going on either. And the place is just like crawling, with police.
Yeah, I just got an email from Gary in Petaluma that the Oakland Occupy camp just had a shooting. And Gary writes, the wackos and the Republican newscasters will love this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, won't they?
Yeah.
All right, well...
The thing that I just wanted to say again, I wanted to reiterate this about the power being off all day and the plumbing, and the city has come up with some kind of rinky-dink excuse, about maintenance or something like that. And I think, personally, my personal opinion is I think that they're getting ready to try and shut the thing down anyway. And so this happening right there at that particular time, awful suspicious, but like I say, nobody really knows anything yet.
All right, maybe we'll get a later report. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for letting us know about that. Take care. And what is this? Jeremy's in Burlington.
And I'm just calling to let people know tonight that shooting that happened here in Burlington, Vermont tonight. It wasn't a shooting that someone did. Someone killed themselves.
Now, this was at Occupy Vermont?
Yeah, this is at Occupy Vermont right in City Hall Park tonight around 2 o'clock p.m. A 35-year-old vet had a gun with him, and no one really knew why. And he was sleeping in a tent with, I guess, because he knew acquaintances of the people that owned the tent. And we'd set up rules, I guess, here saying no alcohol and no drugs, but we never really thought about guns.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, this guy shot himself. But what I'm really calling about is because people here are already liking it on Facebook that he killed himself, saying this is a government problem, we need to stop Occupy. People need to go home and get a damn job.
Mm-hmm.
And they just have no clue what's going on. They're just so out of touch. It enrages me right now. I'm so mad.
Mm-hmm.
I beside myself with anger.
Yeah. And you know that tomorrow, the right-wing radio, the talk show hosts, will turn these two victims, however the one in Oakland turns out, however the one in Burlington, Vermont turns out, but they're going to turn these two victims into victims of left-wing hoodlumism. They're going to refer to the Occupy movement as a bunch of, going all the way back to the 60s, a bunch of dope-smoking hippies, a bunch of druggies who refuse to work. You know what's going to happen. I'm hoping that the Occupy movement can remain very, very strong, because this eventually had to happen. And now what's going to happen is with right-wing media doing the cheering for this, the authorities are going to start getting really tough, and there's going to be an awful lot of danger out there for people who are trying to make a point through the Occupy movement. I hope people can remain strong through this, because it's going to get very, very, very bad, I'm afraid.
I was going to say, I know, because we have people here who are saying the grown-ups are coming to stop this. Well, the grown-ups are there, damn it.
Yeah.
They've been there the whole time, and we're not going to go quietly into the night. I know that right now.
Yeah, I hear that.
Very
All right,
much.
Jeremy, please stay in touch, okay?
I will.
All right, take care. Be careful. We'll be back after the... we'll be back after the break. At some point, we're going to be joined by Harrison on the Edge from Occupy LA. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
Right now, here's Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour, we're getting some reports now on the shooting in Oakland. This is from Associated Press. Drug and gang-related shootings are not uncommon in downtown Oakland, near where the encampment is. And city leaders have complained that the encampment has pulled law enforcement resources away from solving some of these shootings. Well, you know, that's hog crap. Cops don't need to be at the Oakland Occupy protests. The cops need to be out handling crime. The occupiers are not criminals. They are participating in democracy. Oh, wait a minute. I guess that is a crime, isn't it? Anyway, the Associated Press said a man shot tonight outside the Oakland encampment that anti-Wall Street protesters have occupied for the last month was unrelated to the ongoing protest of U.S. financial institutions. Okay, and then there's one more report here from Lane. What I'm hearing is not quite right to say it's at the camp. The shooting was on a street corner near the camp. It had nothing to do with the camp. And Lane writes, Kwan, I guess, that's the mayor, right, wants to use this as an excuse to shut down the camp, but it's very likely it has nothing to do with Occupy. Lane, well, that's what happened here in Atlanta when Mayor Kasim Reed took as his excuse to shut down the Occupy Atlanta encampment in downtown Atlanta. The fact that some freak showed up with an AK-47 had nothing to do with Occupy. Nothing. But As a matter of fact, he was interviewed. He let himself be interviewed by the local television stations. That's all he wanted, was to get his face on television. Now, I don't support these people, but I'm here to protect their right to protest. Yeah, sure you are, you son of a bitch. So based on that, Kasim Reed shut down Occupy Atlanta. Well, it looks like it may happen in Oakland also. And this is from Jim in Burlingame. Latest update from Channel 2 News in Oakland. One man dead and the shooter has not been caught. Jim in Burlingame. And one more. The Chicago Tribune says that, oh, this is AP too. Okay, same report as the one, the first one. Joining us now is, you may know him as Harrison on the Edge. He now is with Pacifica Radio from L.A. I guess you're calling from L.A., right, Harrison?
I am so calling from L.A. I'm putting down my AK-47 just to be on the phone with you, Mike.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, they make me nervous. They really do. The semi-automatic stuff is just, it just makes you nervous. Fully automatic, I can deal with. What's up?
Well, Occupy LA has become quite the vigorous gathering. And as you know, a lot of the Occupy organizations are looking to come this way because of our alleged beautiful weather, even though it's raining now. The good news is nobody has been shot yet. The cops are behaving fairly well, although yesterday when we went to Bank of America and occupied the lobby of that, the police took their motorcycles, surrounded the building, and we actually had some real pleasure. And as you know, when the first banker gets kicked out of a high window, the pitchforks and peasants are really going to go nuts.
That's true.
Haven't gotten there yet, but it's close.
Well, I've been reading that the mayor there, what's his name, Villaraigosa, is just about had enough, and is starting to try to open up negotiations to get people to leave the City Hall area where Occupy LA is encamped. Is that true?
Yeah, basically everyone's got a little Mayor Daley deep down inside of them, which is, this was nice and fun, congratulations, hope you guys had a good time, but we need to lock down the city again and get back to commerce and mercantile,
right.
And you people have an antithetical concept, which we find really distasteful and impolite. So to speak.
Right. Oh my God. So, tell me the mood, the tempo, the rhythms from Occupy LA.
Well, you know, unlike New York, the Wall Street one is very compressed because you can jump on the subway and, you know, 100,000 people can show up. In L.A., you have to fire up the automobile, put it in gear, get on a freeway.
Right.
So you're only here because you really want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a much leaner crowd. But I will tell you, predictably enough, that the crowd that is here really does mean it. They're not looky-loos. They're here because they really, really are invested in it.
Mm-hmm.
So while we have a lot of tent cities here, and we have them, by the way, for the people that have been foreclosed on,
right,
probably to the tune of 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 Americans permanently living in tents anyway.
And that's just in L.A., Harrison.
Yeah, that's
right?
Just in West Hollywood. Yes, exactly.
Okay. Right.
It's become the new normal here, and the weather does allow for this without them, you know, getting uprooted and sent to Florida or Florida to here, however that's supposed to work. But right now, the next plan, of course, is to occupy the Rose Bowl, which would end up getting network television. And that's the new move. The mayor of Glendale, of course, has got the cops on high alert and will not allow the occupiers even into the Rose Bowl because of the nice, as he put it, the nice people who are driving very far and paying lots of money for their tickets don't need to be molested like this.
Well, you know what I say right now about college football? May they all rot in hell. You know, after what's happened at Penn State, and that's just, you know, it's like when the Boston Globe first started reporting on pedophile priests several years ago, and it turned out to be a global organization, the Catholic Church, one of whose organizing principles was child molestation. So I think the thing that happened at Penn State is the tip of another iceberg. So the good people who want to go to the Rose Bowl ought to stay home if they really feel like they need to see it, watch it on television. But I think you and I both know that it is literally, utterly impossible to keep Occupy people out of the Rose Bowl if they want to go. It may require buying tickets, but I'll tell you what, if you get 1,000 people who do buy tickets and at a precise moment stand up and start using the human microphone to tell the other 79,000 what Occupy is all about, it certainly would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Well, that's exactly, and you so nailed it, Mike, and very intuitively, by the way. That's kind of the vibe, is that we all need to spend 80, 90, 100 bucks, whatever it is, for a nosebleed seat at the Rose Bowl. But it grants you ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, Deutsche Welle, the Daily Gleaner out of Jamaica, the whole soup cat and pizzas are going to be there. And, you know, not to mention the webcast from every single mobile phone. Mm-hmm. It's got a real aggressive appetite, and it's worth the investment because you can't shut it up. You're still going to be having live cameras on a football game. And right. If you run out in the field like a streaker from years ago, if you remember,
sure,
that ends up getting a lot of airplay.
Right. How soon before... How soon do you think before there is a right-wing inspired backlash to the Occupy movement? And you know who the usual suspects are: right-wing talk radio, right-wing television, the Rupert Murdoch terror broadcast organization. All these people are really starting to turn up the heat on the Occupy movement with the kind of language designed specifically to incite the bobbleheads that listen to this garbage. So how long do you think before some Glenn Beck fan decides to do something about those dirty, smelly hippies down at fill in the blank?
Yeah, well, the good news is in L.A., they can't find downtown yet. Nobody can. I mean, it took me hours to get there. I had to use a bicycle.
Right.
But apart from that and a decent nose on a Cocker Spaniel, they'll get there at some point. I'm glad you mentioned this. I was in Copenhagen a year ago for the Klima Forum, mm-hmm, when the whole thing tanked. And it was the first time that the United Nations was going to actually meet with the head of the island of Tuvalu and other places,
right,
and talk about climate change. And it was a big deal, face-to-face. And in under 20 minutes, five guys from Fox News tanked it. That's where Al Gore famously stepped on his own foot and everything else. And here's what they did. There were about 1,000 people outside of the Climate Forum. Everybody was there, all the dignitaries. Five guys dressed as vegetables, as, you know, a grapefruit and a persimmon and a celery stalk. These were Fox News guys. They looked like Dr. Smith in the Lost in Space
right
episode as the celery stick.
Right.
And they were screaming, you know, eco-terrorism or whatever. And so the cops closed down the thing for security reasons, thereby closing down the dialogue, and just like that, the light went out.
Yeah.
Poof.
Yeah.
So you're right. We're going to have vegetables a go-go, I think, if they can get away with it.
Harrison, hold on a second. Wait, I got to do some commercials, all right?
Sure.
All right, we'll be right back. We're talking with Harrison on the Edge, is the way his intimate friends know him. Now we're with Pacifica Radio. Stick around. We'll be right back. Follows like a plane. Nobody knew from time to time if the plans were changed. Oh, 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 if the plans were changed. You can beat us with wires. You can beat us with chains. Rules, but you know you can't outrun a history train. I've seen a glorious day. I play when the light comes shining.
ready for Radical Talk Radio? It's Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. Talking with Harrison on the Edge from downtown L.A. at Occupy L.A. Harrison, just got an email from a good friend whose daughter is named Alyssa. And the email says there's been a shooting, according to Alyssa, in Oakland, near Occupy Oakland. However, Alyssa says that she's talking to another friend who was there when the shooting happened. And it wasn't people from Occupy Oakland. It was two people who had a personal vendetta. This is, after all, Oakland. So it wasn't at Occupy Oakland. So for whatever it's worth, there is someone who is also is right there. What's going to happen with Occupy LA? Is that how it's identifying itself?
Yeah, that's pretty much what it's being called. People who come from other states, other cities, bring their own Occupy name with them, but we're calling it Occupy LA for sure. We're running a live video stream 24 hours a day at GoHarrison.com on my website, so folks can see what we're actually doing here in LA. Mm-hmm. And as people from other places where it's cold and rainy come here to enjoy our cold and rainy because they think it's hot and sunny, and continue to build this thing. But I think, Mike, we're kind of near the finish line, sort of the burnout phase. So something's going to have to reinvigorate this. And I'm guessing the Rose Bowl, occupy that little thing and smash the petals on that rose down in a lovely nonviolent way might be the thing that stimulates this thing back into action.
GoHarrison.com is where the live video streaming is. Okay. All right. Well, listen, Harrison, please stay in touch. Things are getting kind of hairy out there in so many different Occupy sites. If you guys have managed to not be hassled and harassed, after all, it is L.A., let's hope that continues. And you were mentioning about finding issues that will reinvigorate, if that's the right word, Occupy L.A. I'm sure you're going to find them. God knows, especially in L.A., there are all sorts of issues that should get the attention of Occupy L.A. So good luck with it. And please be careful.
All right, my friend, I've got my condoms. I will.
Okay, Harrison, take care.
All right, my friend.
Take care. Jesus, God. Oh. He's kidding. We all know Harrison. He's kidding. Oh, my God. Apparently on what's the channel, current TV that Oberman is on, apparently he is reporting it now, just an average night in Oakland, about three blocks away from Occupy Oakland. But I think it does give the impression of how eager media are right now, especially television, in so many areas to jump 10 feet up in the air and land on both their feet and their cameramen and their producers and their on-scene breathless reporters, hoping against hope that one of these sites will erupt into exactly this kind of violence. Not the kind... Oh, and by the way, we're going to talk about this after the break here at the top of the hour. What occurred where is this damn report? Was it in Oakland? There's some video. Oh, in Berkeley, not Oakland. Berkeley. Did you happen to see? If you go to readersupportednews.org, you'll find, well, I'm sure you've already seen it anyway, from UC Berkeley, police beating students in Sproul Plaza. Is it Sproul? I used to call it Sproul. Somebody said, no, it's Sproul. Sproul Plaza the place where Mario Savio gave his speech back in 1964. But if you look at that video, a bunch of students standing there, and all of a sudden, the police, I guess it's in Berkeley, California, start punching female students in the lower abdomen. Think about that for a second. With their nightsticks, just jamming them in their lower abdomen. And then some of the male students step up, and they're treated the same way. These are cops with, you know, with their riot gear on. And I swear, after looking at about 6 minutes of this video, I couldn't figure out why they were pummeling these students. The cops were kicking them. And of course, the students just stood there. They were not about to back down. As a matter of fact, while the cops are thrusting these sticks into the lower abdomens of women, I mean, what the hell is wrong with these? You know, do the cops not understand that this Occupy movement has their interests at heart also? Or are the cops so goddamn brain dead that they're going to continue to operate as useful idiots for corporate America, for the capitalists, and continue to beat up on their natural allies? What is wrong with you people? These cops should be joining the Occupy movement. They should be making it clear to city administrations, we're not going to touch them unless there is violence, unless there is destruction. Then we will do our jobs as we were hired to do. But we're not going to stand there with nightsticks and jam them into the lower abdomens of 20, 21-year-old women. Jesus Christ.
Jay Farner here.
The hour. I want to get to the fracking number two here in just a second, but Mark is in San Francisco. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Pretty good. I don't know if you noticed today or heard about it, but the GOP launched an anti-Elizabeth Warren ad.
Yeah. I heard about that, where they tried to, first of all, paint the Occupy movement in the worst possible light, and then link Elizabeth Warren as if it were her idea.
Exactly. So what it tells me, Mike, is that now the GOP has waged war on Occupy Wall Street and, of course, Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah.
Both of them. And so that tells you that they're gonna ramp up the rhetoric. It's gonna be unbelievable how far they're gonna go now. Because if they're willing to do this, they're basically coming out and saying they're gonna take on Occupy Wall Street.
Well, I saw a video where Elizabeth Warren was having a town meeting in Massachusetts, where she's running for the Senate, and a Glenn Beck or Rush Limbaugh bobblehead was there, someone obviously from the teabag movement, standing there and called her a socialist bitch. Right in the middle of, he indicated he wanted to ask a question, and she let him ask the question, and she answered it, and then he called her a socialist bitch, and he said some other things, and it was just astonishing. I don't know why people in that room did not go over and beat him to the ground. I mean, just beat him to the ground. Nonviolence certainly is the best way to go, and I believe in that, but when somebody stands there and calls a woman up on the stage a socialist bitch, I think it's time to take him down, beat him up, take his clothes off, and throw him out in the street after stuffing a cake of lava soap in his mouth.
I agree with you, Mike. There's no teabag politicians for me to go to a town hall meeting at, or I'd be at them.
Right.
You know? And that's maybe what should happen, is some of us should go to their... these teabag congressmen and start calling them out as the 1% and basically the stooges for corporate America, you know?
Right, and they could be very clearly dealt with on the issues, whereas when somebody goes to listen to Elizabeth Warren, the only arrow he has in his quiver is to call her a socialist bitch. It's just unbelievable what is going on. We're obviously heading for some trouble because the right wing in this country has been whipped into a frenzy by right wing media, by right wing talk radio, by these filthy, horrible people who are on right wing talk radio. And Herman Cain is the most obvious incarnation of this garbage that has flown out of these people now for years. So. Having been whipped into a frenzy, it's not going to take much to trigger one of these people to do something that's going to cause a reaction by folks who are there to hear a candidate. And one of these Beck followers or teabaggers or whatever is going to do something that deserves a beat down, and he's going to get it.
And he sure is. And you know something, Mike? I'll tell you, people have been trampled on for so long, mostly by the right wing, the rats, the cockroaches of the right wing machine here in this country. People aren't going to go away. They're pissed off, and they're not going to go away. They're hurt too bad, and they want a pound of flesh, and they're not leaving until they get it.
Right. I hate to see it have come to this, but the right wing, the brown shirts, have been pushing for this kind of confrontation for a long time. And, you know, I hope the Occupy movement remains as peaceful as it has been so far. I really admire their ability to remain so. But now that the Occupy movement is demonstrating that it is not something is here and gone, it's more like the civil rights movement, it's more like the anti-war movement, only not as focused, and that's what makes it so difficult to target. But it has made it clear now over the past couple of or several weeks that it's not going away. So now the right wing is going to begin the brown shirt bully boy tactics. And I often wonder what would have happened in Germany in the late 20s, early 30s, if the citizens would have grabbed a couple of the brown shirts that were bullying people and just beat them to a pulp. If that would not have put the brown shirts on notice that as Hitler's original stormtroopers, who were eventually done away with, as you know, but as the original bully boys, that the citizens, the decent people, were not going to put up with it. So,
yeah, that's interesting, Mike. I hope it doesn't come to that here, but the way the right-wing echo machine works and this fascist Republican Party, they're gonna push this as far as they can to get what they want, and they see the Occupy movement as in their way of basically stealing democracy and giving it to the rich. So I expect a confrontation at some point. I hate to see violence, but when you hurt people and trample on people for so long,
right,
the stakes are high.
That's right. Absolutely. Thanks, Mark.
Okay, brother.
Appreciate you checking in. Let me get to this, and we'll come back to your phone calls. From oilprice.com, the U.S. Army and the U.S. Geological Survey both have now confirmed a link between earthquakes and hydraulic fracturing or fracking. Here's an example. On November 5th, An earthquake measuring 5.6 on the Richter rattled Oklahoma and was felt as far away as Illinois. Until 2 years ago, Oklahoma typically had about 50 earthquakes a year, little temblers, little not big deals at all. Maybe a 1 or a 2 on the Richter scale, but about 50 earthquakes a year. But in 2010, Oklahoma had 1,047. Why? Well, as oilprice.com says, in Lincoln County, where most of this past weekend's seismic incidents were centered, there are 181 injection wells, fracking operations. So that's according to an official from the Oklahoma Corporation Commission. That's the agency which oversees oil and gas production in the state. So is there a cause and effect? Well, the practice of injecting water into deep rock formations causes earthquakes. That's the conclusion of both the U.S. Army and the U.S. Geological Survey. And as you know, the natural gas industry pumps a mixture of water and assorted chemicals deep underground to shatter sediment layers containing natural gas. That's the hydraulic fracturing, or more informally known as fracking. Environmental groups have primarily focused on fracking's capacity to pollute underground water, but there's a more ominous byproduct that has emerged from these U.S. government studies, that forcing fluids under high pressure deep underground produces increased regional seismic activity. No kidding. Wow. Sarcastic mode off. As the U.S. natural gas industry, oilprice.com says, mounts an unprecedented and expensive advertising campaign to convince the public that such practices are environmentally benign. Don't worry about it, America! Jobs! You know, during the Bush crime family years, we were supposed to look the other way because they would always shout, terrorists! Now, when the right wing wants to divert attention, jobs! Yeah, where? Trying to convince the public, this polluting, filthy industry, convince the public that these practices are environmentally benign, even though both the Army and the U.S. Geological Survey now have concluded otherwise. According to the U.S. Army's Rocky Mountain Arsenal website, the Rocky Mountain Arsenal, drilled a deep well for disposing of the site's liquid waste after the EPA concluded that this procedure is effective and protective of the environment. Well, guess what happened? Yeah, well, I'll share it with you when we come back. Stay with us. The U.S. Army's Rocky Mountain Arsenal, according to their website, RMA, drilled a deep well for disposing of the site's liquid waste after the U.S. EPA concluded that this procedure is effective and protective of the environment. Now, this is a long time ago. According to the RMA, the Rocky Mountain Arsenal's deep injection well was constructed in 1961 and was drilled to a depth of 12,000 feet. And then 165 million gallons of Basin F liquid waste, consisting of very salty water. This is a quote from the website that includes some metals, chlorides, wastewater, and toxic organics, was injected into this well during the period of 1962 to 1966. Now, why was the process halted? According to RMA, the Army discontinued use of the well in February 66 because of the possibility that the fluid injection was triggering earthquakes in the area. 1966. 45 years ago. In 1990, there was a report to the EPA entitled Earthquake Hazard Associated with Deep Well Injection. And the report stated simply, quote, injection has been discontinued at the site in the previous year once the link between the fluid injection and the earlier series of earthquakes was established, end quote. Now, if you're a typical right-winger, if you're a typical teabagger, if you're a typical conservative, if you're somebody who likes to stand in a meeting where Elizabeth Warren is trying to address potential voters and call her a socialist bitch and not expect to get a beat down at some point, if you are that stupid, then none of this means anything to you. Go on back to listening to Limbaugh. Well, no, go ahead and continue to take notes of this program and get it out there to the right-wing crazy websites because we need the publicity, boys. But according to the U.S. Geological Service website, under the undated heading, Can We Cause Earthquakes? Is there any way to prevent earthquakes? The USGS notes, quote, earthquakes induced by human activity have been documented in a few locations in the United States, Japan, and Canada. The cause, continuing the quote, the cause was injection of fluids into deep wells for waste disposal and secondary recovery of oil, and the use of reservoirs for water supplies. Most of these earthquakes were minor. The largest and most widely known resulted from fluid injection at the Rocky Mountain Arsenal near Denver, Colorado. In 1967, an earthquake of magnitude 5.5 followed a series of smaller earthquakes. Injection had been discontinued at the site in the previous year once the link between the fluid injection and the earlier series of earthquakes was established, end quote. Note this phrase, quote, once the link between the fluid injection and the earlier series of earthquakes was established, end quote. So, both the Army and the U.S. Geological Survey, over 50 years of research, confirm that, quote, fluid injection introduces subterranean instability and is a contributing factor in inducing increased seismic activity. How about causing significant seismic events? So now, fast forward to the present. See, here's the thing. The natural gas industry has known about this forever. The U.S. Geological Society has known about it forever. The EPA has known about it forever. The U.S. military has known about it forever. And yet you will find the natural gas industry out there on television. How many times have you seen the commercials now? First, they have the series of commercials running by the Petroleum Institute telling you that the tar sands extraction is perfectly okay. No problem. And now you have the natural gas industry saying that, this is perfectly harmless. It won't pollute your groundwater. But groundwater is only one problem, you predatory capitalist bastards. The other problem is earthquakes. Not going to talk about that, huh? All right, there's a little bit more that I want to about this to drop into the conversation, then we'll go back to your phone call. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Before the hour. So both the U.S. Army and the U.S. Geological Society have concluded that fracking, so-called, not only carries with it the potential for a total groundwater contamination and the attendant sickness and disease that goes with that, but also earthquakes. Now, for you right-wing trolls that listen to this program, I know none of this stuff means anything to you. You are too stupid to save your own lives. But it does have meaning to normal people. Some of this fracking is going on in high population areas, not to minimize anything in, in Oklahoma. No matter where it is in Oklahoma. But Oklahoma is not, with a couple of exceptions, is not high-density population, whereas there are areas. I understand in New York State there are areas where the natural gas companies are just itching to begin this process and, in fact, have started some of it. But when you have scientific evidence, oh Christ, I don't know why even try. I really don't. Why even bring this stuff up? Because it really doesn't matter. This is just for you and me to sit around and shake our heads about and go, oh, woe is us, woe is us. How do you get to the point where you have a capitalist leadership that controls the economics and the politics of the country? And they are doing things that destroy life. Oh, they're so quick to fund these morons who want to defend a fertilized egg. But where it concerns the lives of thousands, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of real live human beings, they don't give a goddamn. They couldn't care less. Get the money. Right, you miserable bastards. Get the money. I'll tell you, when the reckoning comes, there, you know, this is what the French aristocracy refused to believe in, say, 1789. They just refused to believe it. Nah, the rabble, they're not going to do anything. The Occupy Paris is not going to do anything, right? Huh? And then they started moving the guillotines into place. And once the revolution began for the next couple of 3 years, chop, over and over and over again, the streets of Paris ran red with blood because of what the ruling class, the aristocracy, persisted in doing. Now, the ruling class in this country, totally devoid of any historical memory, collective or otherwise, not having had a proper education. The people who are ripping and gouging and destroying the economic system, what's left of it, this country now, stealing everything they can get their hands on, went through school in the 80s, the late 80s and early 90s, and were told, no, don't take a liberal arts course, don't take the humanities, don't take language, don't take philosophy, don't take literature, get your MBA! There's billions to be stolen! So they don't have an adequate education. They don't understand the French Revolution.
French Revolution? Oh, yeah. That's right after ours. Wasn't it? Good on them. I hope they won. I don't know. Whatever. Here, let me click some clicks here on my computer and make another million. Click, click, click.
So none of this stuff means anything to this greedy, self-centered capitalist class that's destroying everything. But I want to tell you, there are enough warnings in history, bloody warnings, serious warnings, warnings of violence and retribution that are almost unspeakable in their gore. And I, for the life of me, don't understand why. Well, I just explained why. But the people continuing, the organizations like the Koch brothers, all these other groups that are continuing to ignore the fact that there is a seething mass of enraged humanity that is going to get to the point where occupying certain areas and peacefully trying to say to the 1%, you have got to stop, where that's no longer going to be effective. Whatever police attack it takes, whatever snotty attitude it takes from a new right-wing news media, whatever it takes, at some point, there will be some event that occurs, and the guillotines will be brought out again. Or, you know, the 2011 U.S. equivalent of a guillotine. But they will be brought out. So, to the present, last month, Britain's Quadrilla Resources announced that it had discovered huge underground deposits of natural gas in Lancashire, up to 200 trillion cubic feet of gas in all. On the 2nd of November, a report commissioned by Quadrilla Resources acknowledged that hydraulic fracturing was responsible for two tremors which hit Lancashire and possibly as many as 50 separate earth tremors overall. The British Geological Survey also linked smaller quakes in the Blackpool area to fracking. British Geological Society Dr. Brian Baptiste said, quote, it seems quite likely that they are related, end quote, noting, quote, we had a couple of instruments close to the site, and they show that both events occurred near the site and at a shallow depth, end quote. So it's not just here. We have known, or various government agencies in this country have known for the better part of 50 years, that deep injection of fluids into the earth causes earthquakes. But now that they know about this, the oil and natural gas industry has been quick to dismiss the charges and deluge the public with this plethora of television advertisements about how natural gas from shale deposits is not only America's future, but provides jobs! Jobs! And not only that, we energy companies are responsible stewards and custodians of the environment. Why? Just look at our institutional ads. Look at all the happy people picnicking in a bright green clearing in a beautiful forest. We would never do anything like
convert groundwater into sludge. We would never do anything like poison aquifers. We would never do anything like cause earthquakes. Don't look over there at the scientific reports. Look at your television screen. Look at our nice institutional ads. See the pretty Caucasian couple sitting on a nice checkered blanket in a clearing. Oh, look at the mountains in the background. Oh, look at the beautiful fall foliage. Everything's okay. Go back to sleep, you dumbasses. We've got stuff to get out of the earth. And we're going to get it. Woo! Woo! While the Oklahoma quake caused a deal of property damage, had lives been lost, the policy of fracking most certainly probably would have come under increased scrutiny from the legal community, of course. You can say that polluting a local community's water supply is a local tragedy, and nobody gives a goddamn about that inside the Beltway in Washington. Who cares? What? Your water's all polluted? Oh, well, sorry, I don't know. You know, we don't have any money in the Superfund. These filthy capitalist Republicans and their cohorts, the Democrats, they won't do anything. So, you know, just drink the crap. You know, if your kid dies or gets, you know, autistic or something, sorry. Freedom isn't free, you know. So, polluting a community's water supply doesn't mean anything inside the Beltway, but an earthquake ranging from Oklahoma to Illinois, Kansas, Arkansas, Tennessee, and Texas might be an issue to get somebody's attention. No? No? No. Probably not. Ay, 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 we'll be right back. By stimulating birth control, we're wanting less to eat. It's good news week. Doctors finding many ways of wrapping brains in metal trays to keep us from the heat. Before the hour, David is in San Francisco. Been holding on forever. Hello, David.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, I grew a beard.
Well, good for you.
Hey.
It wasn't that long.
No, just a little beard. Hey, you know, I was interested in catchphrases about this fracking.
Yeah.
And I call up a lot of really wicked right-wing stations all day long. In fact, I get up at 2 in the morning, you know, so I can hit them East Coast time. And I, you know, there are a couple of different phrases at work. And, for example, you know, you may not know it, but the drought in Texas this year you know, a bad drought might run 40 days.
Right.
They ran, what, 80 or 90 days?
Yeah, yeah.
Over 100?
Right.
And I was calling around down in there, and I learned that they have actually, you know, when the oil companies, this is similar to fracking. When an oil well is about run dry,
right.
You've just got the dredges on the bottom,
mm-hmm.
if you pour massive amounts of water down into there, you know, you can sort of float it. And then you can suck the last of the oil out of the ground, right?
Right, uh-huh.
So just one aquifer, apparently the one down near Austin, Texas, has dumped 13 million gallons of clean water down into the ground in order to get the last dredges of the oil out down there at the very time that was this year.
Mm.
Yeah, I think it's called the Edwards Aquifer, 13
mm-hmm.
million gallons just from one aquifer down near Austin. And so the drought was exacerbated essentially by the oil companies that are dumping the water down into the wells to get cheap gasoline.
Gosh, so, who would think they would do something like that? I mean, come on, David.
Well, there you go. Now, then you go into this the next angle of this, and that's that each, you know, geologically, you've got all sorts of different kinds of, 100 miles, you might have a mountain range of a certain kind of stone, but 100 miles, 200, 300 miles away, might be a different
right.
chemical composition. So you're dumping random chemicals down into various chemical compositions, you're going to have all sorts of strange mixes.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea that everybody knows that we don't really want to know where our hazardous wastes are going.
Right.
We're giving them to trash companies, but we don't really want to find out how that they've been dumped.
Yeah, don't tell me about the landfills, right?
Yeah, so isn't this more likely what they're doing is just taking hazardous waste, pouring it deep into the earth, and hoping that we never mm-hmm. find out? So their whole, you know, the neocon scam about whether or not the EPA is cutting jobs is a sidetrack. They don't ever want to be discovered for having poisoned the aquifers of America.
Well, right. That's one of the reasons that every single right-wing candidate who runs sometimes on the state level, but certainly on the national level, talks about that horrible, rancid, rotten, filthy EPA, that all they're doing is preventing people from getting jobs or stopping the job producers from doing what America needs, and the right-wing bobbleheads, the people who don't know anything about anything, just sit there and go, yeah, that's right, yeah, that's right. Where do I vote? Let me vote for the right-winger. Yeah, right. You know, this is maddening. If people could just understand what the issues are and then debate them, fine, let's have a debate. But how do you discuss these issues with people who have had their heads filled up with 20 years of Rush Limbaugh's garbage? You can't do it.
Well, actually, you're down in coal country. You're in North Georgia. They have a lot of coal down there, and
right.
they're doing the mountaintop removal. But I saw some study the other day showing how many jobs were lost. Back in the old days, they might have 1,000 miners down in a mine. Now they got about 40.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's all done with heavy equipment. And not only are they not providing jobs, but they're firing them because this heavy automation is taking care of it. And the whole idea of buying equipment and then doing quick depreciations on equipment, they're getting essentially paid by the government to get rid of jobs because they're buying it in equipment. So, you know, they've scammed it a whole lot of different ways. To me, it's easy to get on these talk shows and I can scare the life out of them, just like I was showing. You know, so you look at, I'm glad you read that article about the 118 wells in Oklahoma, because in the one case in Texas, it's poisoning the heartland, but then the idea that you're going to get earthquakes by the fracking. So, you know, it's this massive Oklahoma, you know, all you have to do is talk God and country down there, and so all you say is, well, you're killing God's green earth with the dinosaurs, the death of the dinosaurs. They're actually very easy to convince. I just got off with one guy. He's on. He was talking about the Oakland Occupy
right.
Wall Street.
Right.
And so, you know, I out here, you were talking about whether there was a shooting out here. There was, and it wasn't related.
Mm-hmm.
But he was putting down the Occupy movement in general. And so I told him right from the start, Here's the front location of Occupy San Francisco is in front of the Federal Reserve.
Mm-hmm.
Now, name me four Republicans that love the Federal Reserve. And he said, I can't name one. They all hate it.
Right. Hey, David, guess what? I have to leave it there, pal. We're just about ready to break here. I do appreciate what you covered, though. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you checking in. Don't be a stranger. All right. I've got some things to say when we come back. And, you know, it's not very nice. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. As I mentioned earlier, you know, I've been getting a number of emails about Herman Cain's treatment and attitude toward women and the attitude toward sexual victims as a result of the scandal at Penn State. The treatment of young children. And like I mentioned the other day, to me, one of the big divisions, political divisions in this country is along the lines of how we treat the least among us, as the Bible calls it. I don't refer to people in that manner. I don't think it is... I don't think it's a proper way to refer to my fellow human beings simply because they don't have money or position or the wherewithal to get either, as if that were so important. It is in this society. Because even though this society is crumbling into dust, it is still highly materialistic, as are most industrial societies. I mean, that's part of the game. How many times have you been told that consumerism, so-called, drives 70% of the economy of this country? If we're not out buying junk, the economy collapses. But that's a whole different topic. But the division among the political left and the political right is usually in it's several fault lines, but one of them is how women and children are treated in this country, and especially how women and children of a lower economic status, as determined by the top 1%, how they are treated. Herman Cain really does believe that he's been catapulted into the 1%. Rush Limbaugh has been there for a long time. Neil Bortz has been there for a long time. Both Neil Bortz and Rush Limbaugh are great defenders of Herman Cain and great verbal attackers where it concerns women and children who cannot defend themselves. And as are most, the reason I mentioned Bortz is because Bortz has selected Herman Cain to be his favorite Negro. Bortz does this periodically, and people who listen to him, who have listened to him for 30 years in Atlanta radio, know that Bortz does this. He's a very racist man, Neil Bortz is, but he'll, you know, occasionally he'll pick a person of color to be his favorite Negro. And Herman Cain got that distinction, quote, some time ago. Rush Limbaugh, who also is a bloated racist, simply is using Herman Cain to continue Russia's demonization of everything that is not on the fascist totalitarian right where he is. So how does this, you know, break down? Like I said, I've gotten a number of emails from people who want to comment on this, on both these issues. The fact that the winningest coach in college football had decided to violate the law. Now, working around young people, I have no doubt that Joe Paterno, being the good Republican, conservative, Catholic that he is, I'm sure Paterno understood the law and understood that he had a legal obligation, a law enforcement obligation to report to the real authorities, prosecutor or police, instances that he became aware of child sexual abuse. Everybody has that moral obligation, but in certain areas you have a legal obligation. People who work in public education, people who work in the medical profession are required, and I don't know if it's a federal law or state law. I would assume it's a federal law, but they're required to report this kind of stuff. The fact that we have to have a law requiring the reporting of violent sexual abuse against children speaks volumes about the degeneracy that the right wing has imposed on this country. I mean, truly, the right wing, whether it's religious or political right, would have all this just be quiet. If a man wants to beat his wife, if a man wants to sodomize neighborhood children, if a man wants to beat or abandon his own children, if a man wants to act like a dictator within the confines of his own home, well, then by God, he should have the right to do that. That's the attitude of the Christian right, of the most religious right, Muslim, Jew, Christian. It's pretty much the same. And the political right in this country is the same way. If you want to beat your child or starve your child in order to get demons out of the little booger, you should have a right to do that. This is the sick, perverted thinking that the religious right and the political right in this country, and pretty much globally, look what is done to women in certain cultures who are forced to have a clitorectomy. I mean, this is madness. And the American version of a clitorectomy is to tell women, or attempt to tell women, as was attempted in Mississippi the other day, that they may not share the privacy of their medical decisions with their own doctor, that there has to be a religious right ghoul standing in the corner making sure that the woman makes the correct religious or political decision. This is insanity. This is madness. This is right wing, all of it. It is fascism of the highest order. It is practiced by disparate, sick individuals from Herman Cain to Neil Bortz to Rush Limbaugh across the media spectrum, the political spectrum. This is what they do. This is what these sons of bitches do. So as a result of this, you have a coach like Joe Paterno who is cheered by people who gather together outside his house when the university's board fires him, who cheers him. You have people who boo when Maria Bartiromo the other night asked Herman Cain a question about trust and honor where it concerns a political candidate. They booed the question. Now, granted, in both instances, we're talking about highly partisan individuals. The students who look at Joe Paterno on the university or Penn State University campus as Father Joe. And where it concerns Herman Cain, Caucasians who are just thrilled to have a black man who is obviously as ignorant as they are, that they can shove into the face of the American public and say, oh, yeah, we're behind Herman. Yeah, we really love Herman. Of course, I wouldn't want my daughter marrying any of his sons if he has any. Of course, I don't want him moving in next to me. Of course, I don't want him joining my club. But, oh, boy, is it fun having a Negro out there that we like. You know, our Negroes are better than the Democrats' Negroes. Ha, ha, ha. That's what we're talking about. This is sick, and it's degenerate, and it's corrupting, and it's corrupt. But that's where we are. Now, there's a guy who listens to this program. He works at Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport. And I only see him maybe, oh, gosh, I don't know, once, twice. If I am at the airport and he happens to be there, if I'm boarding a flight or getting off a flight and he happens to be there, Dave is his name, you know, we'll stop and chat for a minute. And Dave is a very interesting dude. He has worked various jobs right now. He's working at the airport. Well, he sent me an email, and I want to share it with you when we come back. And Dave is an African-American man. He's got some language in here that, you know, some people may find offensive. But I'm going to read it to you as he wrote it. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. Come to know a little bit from my travels in and out of Atlanta Airport, and a guy who has listened to my program, wherever it's been originating from, for a number of years, going all the way back to WSB here in Atlanta, where Herman Cain worked, where Neil Bortz worked. Yeah, oh, God. Anyway, with some editing here for length, because it's a rather lengthy email, I want to share with you what Airport Dave wrote. The subject line is Herman Cain. Hello, Mike. Why is it that scandalized politicians like Herman Cain are the last to know when it's time to throw in the towel? I'm going to stay on point. I'm not quitting, Herman said. If attorney Gloria Allred's imposition of herself into this fiasco doesn't have him quaking in his boots, he must have been too busy receiving demanded favors and shutting down pizza houses over the last 30 years to fully appreciate her reputation. But Cain says he won't quit. So maybe he's also not too hip to the way the media and politicians operate. The Democrats are out to get him? Ha! The scandal is just what his opponents for the nomination were looking for. Whether they admit it or not, you can bet that investigators for each one of his Republican competitors are out there now looking for the next woman who will come forward to tell how Cain abused her. And with each one, can't you hear him saying he won't quit? After woman number 9, I'm not quitting. woman number 31. I'm not quitting. After all, he thinks he's smarter than the average Negro. So maybe it'll have to fall to his buddy Neil Bortz, or maybe the Koch brothers, to finally compel this clown to throw in the towel. I only wish that I could be with a bunch of black folk in the back of a room where he finally does quit the race. Remember that crack he made that it was their own fault if blacks are not millionaires? My sign would read, "No White House, Herm, it's your own fault." What Kane has succeeded in doing is to catapult himself into the stratosphere along with Clarence Thomas as the two biggest Uncle Toms in U.S. history. That is some statement. And I thought I'd never see anything more embarrassing than Ben Vereen's pickaninny performance at Reagan's inaugural ball. Yeah, it'll be a happy day when Kane ends this silliness. And while the rest of us move forward, where will Kane go when neither his right-wing so-called friends nor his own people want anything to do with him anymore? Airport Dave. Thanks, Dave. It is because we live in a society saturated with 350 years of racism, white-on-black racism, primarily, although it's white-on not just black folk racism. There's other degrees of racism, of course. But racism, clearly defined, is the sole, or white folks have exclusive rights to racism. Because racism, I'm not talking about not liking somebody. You know, a lot of black folk can look at white people and say, you know, I really don't like him. I really hate her. Man, I wouldn't have anything to do with white folks. You know, I hate Asians. You know, that's not racism. That might be prejudice or bigotry, but racism is that bigotry institutionalized, written into our laws, so deeply embedded in this society that once the laws are declared to be invalid, the de facto racism continues. Now, if you don't believe that, you better go find a different radio station or a different program to listen to. You can keep listening to whatever, wherever you're listening to this. But you may need a different program. I get a lot of email from people who say, well, you're crazier than hell, Mike. Black people could be racist, too. No, they can't. They can be bigoted. They can be prejudiced. Pick a word. But racism is the inscribing into law that one race is superior to another. Now, whether you like that definition or not, I frankly don't give a damn. That's what it is. So for black people in this country, given that 350-year history of racism, it's very difficult, isn't it? Huh? As Dave points out in his email, it's very difficult to walk that line when a black person does, through circumstance, hard work, serendipity, kismet, pick whatever word you want to pick. All of a sudden finds himself or herself, especially in politics, at the top of some heap. Because when a black person does reach that pinnacle, black folk have to take a look and say, all right, here's one of us who is rising above. Now, whether white people acknowledge this or not, black folks still look at other black people as representing the race and what their behavior means. And that's the dilemma that a lot of black folk have with Herman Cain. We'll be right back.
Before the hour,
Where was I? I just, maybe like you, I get so tired of it. Don't you? Get so tired of the attitudes of the political and religious right that just continues to poison everything in this country. Instead of helping us overcome bigotry and ignorance and prejudice and religious nonsense, elements in the society just feed right into it. You know, give the American people more chunks of lies and innuendos and untruths to munch on, that continue pumping bigotry and prejudice and disrespect into the discourse. They do it 24/7 across the fruited plain, border to border, coast to coast on right-wing radio. It never, ever stops. It doesn't let up for a moment. By right-wing radio, I'm talking about the religious radio programs that apparently have millions of listeners. The air-polluting right-wing political talk shows that have tens of millions of listeners. I don't get it. I belong in a different time and place, obviously. I would much rather live in a time and place where efforts were made to get rid of bigotry and hatred and prejudice, the kind that is pumped out day in and day out by these huge gaping maws like Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck and Neil Bortz and the rest of these people. But the most shocking thing to me, politically speaking, in this political season, oh, there have been other things much more shocking, but in this political season, was when Maria Bartiromo tried to ask this chump Herman Cain, this moron, this serial sexual harasser, a question about his serial sexual harassment. And the audience booed the question. And old Herman then stepped right up, riding on that crest of boos directed at Maria Bartiromo for having the absolute temerity to question this sexist pig about his attitudes and actions towards women. Herman steps right up on the crest of those boos and certainly puts Maria Bartiromo in her place, right? And the pig man, this filthy, disgusting Rush Limbaugh, went on a tirade the other day against liberalism for the alleged sexual harassment mess in which Herman Cain finds himself. And I only add the word alleged. I'm going to take the word alleged out. Nah, the sexual harassment mess. I guess five women are just going to wake up one morning and say, I'm going to make stuff up from 14 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years. I'm just going to make stuff up. And I'm going to make it up about Herman Cain. Well, why are you going to do that? Oh, I don't know. I want to get paid. What? Yeah, I've just decided I want to sue him. You want to sue him? Yep. So you're going to put yourself out there as being somebody who Herman Cain ran his hand up your leg, looking to reach no-no land, huh? Yep. Really? But there are so many right-wingers in this country who believe that scenario. And one of the reasons is because this filthy, disgusting Limbaugh, who says roaring liberalism is to blame for what he refers to as sexist politics. And he goes on to claim that powerful men are the real victims. Was he saying this back when, now this is a guy who coined the term feminazis, of course. His respect for women is well known. Can you imagine being married to this slob? But this is a man who coined the term feminazi. And where was he? If he really feels that way, did he just fall all over his drawers to get out in front and defend Bill Clinton when Bill Clinton and another consenting adult decided to have a little sex play? I don't seem to remember that. Do you? Rush Limbaugh, you are the most hypocritical, disgusting, stinky-breathed son of a bitch ever to show up on the American scene. You really are. It's just unbelievable. But anyway, he goes on to blame women and to blame liberals for targeting the real victims, powerful men. He squealed the other day, political correctness has now spread to behavior. Sexual harassment is now a political weapon. Listen to his words. And according to the pig man, men now, sadly, have to, quote, watch what they say around everybody from busybody feminists. Busybody feminists? To panty-waist liberals. Panty-waist liberals? As onewhiteduck.com blog site put it, Rush laments the loss of an apparently better, simpler time to our now politically correct sexual environment in which a woman's male boss can't even say, hey, baby, what now appears to be inappropriate in the old days was nothing, nothing. You know, I've been saying for a very long time, as have a lot of people, I don't mean to make it sound like I'm the only kid with his finger in the dike, but a lot of people have been saying for a very long time that Rush Limbaugh is poison to the society. He does his bit to rip it to pieces, to inject suspicion, hatred, fear, disrespect, dishonesty, unethical talk, immoral behavior into this society, and he does it daily. This drug-addled son of a bitch who had his housekeeper go score street drugs for him, and then until the point he took so much Vicodin or Oxycontin that he drove himself deaf, and then he had the nerve to hide behind a treatment program. Not that he doesn't. People who are on hooked on this filth that the pharmaceutical industrial complex puts out should get treatment. But Limbaugh, who violated the law, who hid behind a woman's skirts to go out and score his drugs. You son of a bitch, Limbaugh. And now you have the gall to say that Herman Cain is a victim of five women who had enough of his crap. You, of all people, Limbaugh, who sent a woman out to get your drugs? You filthy, filthy, filthy man. So, when a woman says she went to dinner with Herman Cain to ask for help finding a job. And after driving from the restaurant, Cain parks the car, reaches over, puts his hand on her leg, under her skirt, and reaches, quote, for my genitals, end quote. He also, quote, grabbed my head and brought it toward his crotch, end quote. And when I expressed shock about it, Cain said, quote, you want a job, right? This is the kind of behavior that Rush Limbaugh and Neil Bortz, defending his Negro of the Month, this is the kind of behavior that these Caucasians are defending. This is the kind of behavior that they advocate. This is the kind of behavior that they say, well, if you're against this, you're a panty-waist liberal. God damn, what's wrong with you? By the way,
gentlemen, Rush
I've been looking for somebody to go out and score my drugs for me since the other woman got, you know, I don't know what the hell happened to her. It really doesn't matter.
You please, everybody disagrees with my rapid. It's bad. I'm horrendous. I'm falling. My ratings now are falling because I'm so full of bull, so full of crap. With condescending crimes, making money, selling lies. You might say, everybody hates my guts. I'm offensive. I'm bigot. I'm fraud. Racist, homophobic, fat, pathetic cuts.
I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi. That's right.
I really am, because I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
That's right.
You're being scammed.
I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
I don't care about the middle class, because I'm a fat conservative butthead with the face of a horse's ass.
He's a fat conservative butthead.
Hey,
with the face of a horse's ass.
I have a subhuman figure, a huge rear end. My brain? That's another story.
It's quite another story.
I have a face. The size of a washtub, and my ass is as big as Missouri.
Yes!
This bastard is sick, he's a bad mom, is big, and his ass is as big as Missouri.
Yes, Toby Bob! Manipulating statements, exaggerate the truth. I can't believe they hate my show. It's bias. It's not just because I'm stupid. It's not just because I'm dumb. It's just because Republicans are liars.
Dirty, filthy liars.
Wedge, get those beavers, oh, those weavers, had to get my diamonds, oh, Wedge, get those eyes, oh, jeepers, 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 creepers, Wedge, get those beavers, boy, jeepers, creepers.
So, you know, Limbaugh and the rest of the people on the political and religious right, they would like to go back to those wonderful days of the 50s when sexual harassment of women and sexual violation of children was so cool. Because, nobody had the audacity to say anything about it. Women and children knew their place back then. Especially poor women and poor children. If they are abused or raped or beaten, they knew to just shut up. That was just the way things were. So, in Limbaugh's filthy mind, it takes an awful lot of nerve, doesn't it, of the fascist, liberal, feminazis with their demand for, equal opportunity, equal treatment, mutual respect. They should know better. They should know better. This is Limbaugh's point of view. This is every right winger, whether it's from religious or a political point of view. That's what it is. Women are subordinate. Children are for entertainment. Limbaugh said the other day, "You women, why don't you just make it official and put on a burqa and nobody will touch you?" Limbaugh's become a Muslim? Had no idea. Put on a burqa, he says. Cover yourself up from head to toe. Because otherwise, you're going to cause good, solid Caucasian men like Rush Limbaugh or good, solid non-Caucasian men like Herman Cain to take advantage of exactly what you're offering. If you're not covered up in a burqa, well, you're offering sex. You're offering subordination. You're offering to put yourself in a secondary position if you are in a relationship with a man. Look at Michelle Bachmann, for Christ's sake, a woman who had the laughable idea that she was going to be presidentess of the United States. Sure she was. The Quran. Quote, "Tell your wives and your daughters and the women of the believers to draw their cloaks all over their bodies That will be better, that they should be known as free, respectable women, so as not to be annoyed. And Allah is ever oft forgiving, most merciful. You know, I spent a lot of time before I finally had enough of these bastards trying to coexist with them. You know, trying to carve out a space where I could immunize myself. I could be away from this right-wing religious and political swill. And, you know, I couldn't do it as long as I wanted to be in this business, or as long as I wanted to read a newspaper, or as long as I wanted to watch television news. I couldn't do it. You cannot avoid the racist attitudes, the anti-woman attitudes of swine like Limbaugh and Beck and Hannity and Bortz and the rest of these scum. You can't get away from it. Corporate radio and television not only allows and permits this, they encourage it. It's that old trick, you know, keep the proles at each other's throats. Because if they ever figure out what we're doing to them, they will come together and destroy us. So keep them apart, the left and the right, the men and the women, the blacks and the whites, the gays and the straights, the Jews and the Gentiles. Keep them at each other's throats, always and forever, because God forbid they ever figure out what we're doing. We, the one percenters. Because they would drag us out of our gilded nests and burn us at a stake. Don't ever let them know what we're doing. Keep them fighting each other. Keep them focused on a piece of human waste like Herman Cain, or a swine like Rush Limbaugh. Keep the focus there. Those boys will take care of it for us. They will do our dirty work. And if the pig man gets caught sending a woman out to score street drugs for him, oh, well, we'll make sure nothing untoward happens to the poor, miserable victim. Him. We'll talk about the woman who got the drugs. Oh, well, it was her fault. And the women that Herman Cain abused. And the children that the coaching staff at Penn State abused. Well, it was somebody else's fault. The liberals. They made us do it. With their goddamn rules and regulations. You can't even walk up to a woman and grab her ass anymore. You can't even take a 10-year-old boy into a shower and anally rape him without somebody getting all upset about it. The political, religious right in this country have destroyed the country. We're walking around in the shards and pieces right now. And these right-wing morons have the audacity to continue to say, well, what's this Occupy movement all about? Well, they don't have a list of demands. They don't have any leadership. What's this all about? I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.